everyone. I am Pastor Steve Wahlberg with White Horse Media, and my topic today is how to study the Bible. This is a two-part series, and I can't tell you what the Bible's done for me. I mean, it has changed my life. I grew up in North Hollywood, Studio City in Southern California. As a teenager, I became lost in a world of drugs. And when I was 20 years old, I started reading the Bible for the first time in my life, and everything changed. My whole life changed. I gave up my wicked Hollywood ways and asked Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive my sins, and to change my life. And he did that. And that was about 43 years ago. I'm 63. I did that when I was 20. And it has been the Word of God that has kept me all these years. So I want to do, like I said, a two-part series on how to study the Bible. And why don't we just pray first? And that's one of the points on how to study the Bible is we have to pray. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just pray for your blessing as we spend this time together looking at how to better know you and know your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, part one is really focused on one major point, and that is the importance of the invisible Holy Spirit coming into our lives to help us to understand the Bible. And I want to start with a text in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. These are the last two verses in this chapter. Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture. So it's talking about the Scripture. And the Scripture is the Old Testament, the New Testament. It is an inspired Scripture, and it also contains prophecy and history and different accounts of people's lives and just a whole lot of things in the Bible. But here this is talking about the prophecy of the Scripture. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, the people who wrote these Scriptures didn't just privately make them up. They didn't just come up with their own ideas. And then it says, for verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So the writers didn't just decide what they wanted to write about. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So my point is that the Scripture is here because men in the past, holy men of God, men that were dedicated to God, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that supernaturally led them to write this book. And this book is unique. I mean, there's no other book like the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but it is the world's all-time best-selling book. There's no book that's ever been written, including Harry Potter, that has been translated into more languages, that's been bought and sold by more people and distributed around the world than this book. And the reason for that is because it's God's book. The Bible is God's book. And it was inspired by the Holy Spirit working through men to lead them to write the Bible. And so the first point is if we're going to understand this book and study it aright, we need to realize that we need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you a Bible verse about that in a little bit. Next text is John chapter 16. John 16, verse 13. And it's too long of a story, but I'll tell you that in 1986, I was going through a big crisis in my life many years ago. Things were very dark for me. I had a lot of problems. I was very confused, very mixed up. And the battle was raging inside of my heart. And I almost decided just to give up on religion, give up on God, and just go back to the world. And this was a number of years after I became a Christian. So Christians still battle as well. You know, just because we become a believer in Jesus or a believer in the Bible doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes the waters get pretty rough. And the waters were rough for me. So I was in the San Francisco area. I was living alone in an apartment, actually in a little town called Pacifica, just south of San Francisco. I was living right on the coast, and I was really struggling. And I prayed. I asked God. I turned off the lights, got on my knees, and prayed a prayer. And I said, Lord, you've got to help me. I'm in a real mixed up emotional trauma because of different things that were happening. And I basically told the Lord that if you don't do something and help me to get through this, I'm just going to go back out to the ways of the world and just give up my faith. And as I was doing that in the darkness of my room and in the midst of the darkness of my life, this still small voice came to me. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was just an impression, a little impression, which I knew at that time came from the Lord. And the impression was, pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. That was the thought that came to me. And that was actually a quote from John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot understand them now. And then verse 13, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that thought just came to me. Pray for the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. And at that time, there were many things that I didn't understand, like verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot understand them now. And I didn't understand a lot of things. I was very confused. And so I had this decision to make. What am I going to do? Am I going to listen to that voice and start praying for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, or am I going to just give up everything that has to do with religion? And thankfully, I made the right choice. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll start praying for the Holy Spirit. And that was in 1986, in the fall. And it has been, let's see, since 1986, it's been 36 years since I have been doing that. I have been praying for the Holy Spirit to guide my mind into the truth. And I'm still here. I'm still a believer in Jesus and the Bible. Actually, my faith is stronger now than ever. I'm just such a blessed man. I'm part of White Horse Media. We have a wonderful ministry, a wonderful team. We have a big YouTube channel. We do radio programs, television programs. We have a whole group of us that are working here in Priest River, Idaho, and we are being blessed by God. And I believe that a lot of what has been happening in my life and through our ministry is because I made a decision 36 years ago to do what Jesus said and to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. So I really want to encourage you to do that, because I believe that if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives guiding our minds, how can we understand a book that is inspired by that Holy Spirit? As we already read in 2 Peter, it was holy men that were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures and the prophecies in the scriptures. And so we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in order to understand the Bible. Now let me show you a few more verses about the Holy Spirit. The book of Revelation is my favorite book. I've read it many times. I don't know if you can see this, but it's all marked up. My book of Revelation is just loaded with underlining. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, this is the beginning of the book. John is introducing himself as the writer. He was an old fisherman. He was the last living disciple of Jesus. And in verse 9, he said, I, John, who am also your brother and your companion in tribulation. In other words, I'm going through struggles too. I know what that's like. And in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ, I was in the isle that is called Patmos, which is a real island today. You can take a tour of that island and go there. It was a prison island. John was banished to that island by one of the Roman emperors who didn't like him because he was a strong Christian. So he was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And then John turned around and he saw Jesus coming to him in a vision. And then Jesus gave him the whole book of Revelation. And my point is that John says, I was in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in his heart. The Holy Spirit was guiding his life. And that's what allowed the door to open up for God to then come to John and give him the entire book of Revelation. So I've been studying Revelation for many, many years. We teach a lot of this in many of our programs as connected to White Horse Media, part of White Horse Media, produced by White Horse Media. And I'm convinced that the only way that we can do any of this and that anybody can understand the book of Revelation is to have the same Holy Spirit in our lives, just like John had in his life when he received the book. Now, let me just show you a couple more verses about the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus gives messages to seven different churches, which were real churches back in the first century, and they also apply to different phases in the history of Christianity from the time of John all the way down to the end of time. And at the end of every message that Jesus gives to these different churches that John wrote down, he ends every message with a focus on the Holy Spirit. For instance, in chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus ends the message to the Ephesus church. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. At the end of, in verse 11, which is the end of his second message to Smyrna, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. At the end of the message, which the next church after that was Pergamos, at the end of that message to Pergamos, Jesus says in verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he says this after every message, all seven of them. So the emphasis, again, is we need to have the Holy Spirit so we can understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, there's a new scene in Revelation. It says, John wrote, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like a trumpet talking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you things that must be hereafter. And then verse 2, he said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. So John is taken into the throne room of the King of the universe, and it was the Spirit that brought him into the throne room in a vision. So you see things like this over and over and over again in the book of Revelation, many, many times. Now, chapter 17 is a very powerful chapter. I've written a book on this chapter. It's called The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. It's all about this amazing woman, this prostitute that's riding a seven-headed, ten-horned beast in Revelation chapter 17. Verse 1, John said, there came one of the seven angels who had the seven vials, and he talked with me, and he said to me, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he sees this evil woman who's been involved with the kings of the earth. And then in verse 3, it says, so he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, I don't have time to, in this talk, I'm not going to go into the application of this prophecy, who this woman is, who the beast is, what the seven heads represent. I've done that in another book that I've written. But my point right now is, once again, you see the connection of the Holy Spirit, that John was carried away in the Spirit, and that's when he saw this evil woman and the judgment that would eventually come upon her. The last chapter of Revelation is chapter 22, and it ends with an appeal. verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." And the bride is the New Jerusalem and God's people, his church, whose ultimate destination is the New Jerusalem. But here it says it's the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and the bride calling us to come to God. And so all throughout Revelation and throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is playing a major role in appeals, in revelations, in writing the scriptures, and in a lot of different things. Okay, here's another text. I've got a couple more texts to share with you for part one of how to study the Bible. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses about this subject. Luke 11, verse 13. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil," which is what we are by nature, our hearts are naturally selfish. We naturally go, we have a bent in the wrong direction because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And now we have inherited their fallen nature, and we are subject to the influence of the devil. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," which even though we're selfish by nature, we still know how to give good gifts to our kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter who's actually graduating from 8th grade tonight. And my son Seth, he's 17. He graduated from 12th grade from high school last Friday. So it's kind of a big week in our family, big graduation week. And I got my son a laptop. That was his graduation gift. I promised him I would get it as he does a little more research, decide exactly which kind of laptop he needs because he's getting ready to go to college. And I think that was a good gift for him. And I do know how to give good gifts to my kids, as any of you that is, if you're a parent, you know how to do that. So Jesus says, "If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father?" Now we have a heavenly Father who is not selfish at all. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly loving and perfectly kind. And so Jesus said, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So God is so good, much better than we are, and he is longing, just like I'm happy to give my son a laptop and to buy things for my daughter. So God is more than willing to give us, don't miss the point, to give us the Holy Spirit to those, Jesus said, who ask him. So that tells us that that's what God wants to give us, and that we need to do our part. We need to open our mouths, and we need to actually ask God for the Holy Spirit. And that's what I started doing in 1986. I started doing that, and I hope that you won't wait until some, you know, terrible crisis comes in your life, or maybe you're in a crisis right now, I don't know. But what got me out of my crisis was a decision to pray for the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I have been doing for 36 years. Romans, last text, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Chapter 8 is largely about walking in the Spirit and not following the flesh. The flesh is that bad part of us, that evil part of us that wants to go in the wrong direction. So when we become believers in Jesus, God counters that by giving us the Holy Spirit, which gives us the strength to go in the right direction. Romans 8, verse 14, Paul said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So God wants to lead us by the Holy Spirit. So part one of this little two-part mini-series, How to Study the Bible, the first part focuses on the importance of the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible. We can never understand a Holy Spirit-inspired book unless we have the Holy Spirit guiding our minds. If we pray for that, like Jesus said, and ask him to give us the Holy Spirit, as we do that little by little, we will be able to understand God's Word. It will start becoming more clear to us. We will experience conviction of sin and different things in our lives where we have gone away from God's will. The Holy Spirit will lift up Jesus as our Savior and point us to Him as the one who can forgive us, who loves us, even though we've sinned. He still loves us. He still cares for us. And He will do more for us than we can even possibly imagine. And He will also give us the strength to do what's right. So when we're tempted to do wrong, you know, how do we say no? How do we resist the devil? How do we resist temptation? Well, the answer is through the power and the presence and the strength that the Holy Spirit gives. And the Holy Spirit will help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So that's part one. And I'm convinced that if we don't have the Holy Spirit helping us, we're never going to understand the world's all-time best-selling book. So that's just basic. It's the foundation for building a house, for building our Christian life. And by the way, when I started doing that in 1986, little by little, the Lord started convicting me of my mistakes and my sins and the places where I had contributed to the crisis that I was in and to my own confusion. And He helped me to see those things and to confess them. And Jesus forgave me. I experienced His cleansing. Things got clearer and clearer. My life stabilized. The confusion went away. The peace of God came into my heart. And now, years later, I'm a married man with a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. And I'm a part of Whitehorse Media. And I'm just a very happy person. I thank God for His book and for the Holy Spirit that has been helping me to understand the Bible. So that's it for part one, and I'll see you again shortly, hopefully, in part two, and I'll give you some more insights on how to understand this wonderful book called the Holy Bible. Thanks for watching.